Good morning and buenos dias. To those who are here in the sanctuary, good morning. To those of you who are sitting on your couches in your pajamas or in your kitchen sipping on a cup of coffee, buenos dias. What a challenge this new experience is as we are growing and experiencing the virus. I want to thank Pastor Bob. I love your pastor. He has been my friend for many years, and Christy, and I thank him and the leadership of your church for granting me this great honor. I'm here in Puerto Rico because one of the founding elders of Wesleyan Community Church, which became Christian Community Church, passed away. His name was Albert Rittering, and years ago, he made me promise I would be at his funeral. So, I had the honor of being there for that, the military burial. And then I learned so much from older, especially men, to be honest. I learned a lot from older gentlemen. And think of Carlos Sepulveda, you know, who was the leader of the first Emmaus Walk. And I mourn with your church and the Emmaus community, yet I celebrate. It's kind of like that mixed bag of blessing. Yesterday, we mourned as a church over Christian Community Church, loss of an elder, but we celebrated his life. And so today, I want to tell you a story, and it's a story of an older gentleman. I mean, this is Older Gentleman Day. We have Carlos Sepulveda, and I'm going to show you his picture. Here it is right here. This is my granddad. I don't have it up on the screen, but his name was Jim Whitehead, and I'm going to tell you a story. Are there two scriptures up there on the screen?
Yeah.
All right, let's read this first one. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 34. And it says, I'm reading from another translation. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables, and he didn't tell them anything without a parable. A parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we learn biblical truths from these parables. And is that the right verse? Yeah, that's the right verse. And so I want to tell you a parable, a story from my grandfather. But why did Jesus not tell anything without telling a story? There are many reasons, but one of them is, people remember stories. If I came here this morning and gave you a great theological treatise on Habakkuk 3:17-19, it would probably be forgotten by tomorrow morning. But if I tell you a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, perhaps the Lord can use it and it can stick with you. So let me prove my point that you remember stories. I am going to tell you a little bit of a story that Jesus told, and then I'll ask you a question, and you answer me, proving that you remember stories. The first one, it's found in Luke chapter 11. None of you would know that, but Luke chapter 11, it's the story of an older gentleman, and he had two sons. And the younger son was kind of a wild child, and he demanded his inheritance, and then he went off and he squandered it, and he came back to his dad. That is known as the parable of the blank son. One for one, and those of you who are sitting at home, I hope you're going with us too. The prophecy, you know that. It was a story told 2,000 plus years ago, but you could say the prodigal son. Let's go to number two. Number two, it's found in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus told the story of this man who took care of sheep. He had 100 sheep. One of them got lost. He took the 99 and he put him in a safe place, and he went looking for the one, and he went and found it. It's known as the parable of the good shepherd. Oh, ding, ding, ding. You got it again. You remember that. The story of the good shepherd. Now, let's get a little tougher. Okay, we're moving into double jeopardy time. The next one. Jesus told the story, and he was teaching a truth about hearing God's word and doing it. And he told the story and he said, there were two men who built houses. Can you finish this first sentence? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Very good. Those of you at home, did you get it? The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Pastor Bob must be teaching you the word because you have got this down. All right, let's get even tougher. The rain came, the storm, the Hurricane Maria, and the house on the sand, what happened?
Great structure.
Ooh, wait a minute, this one's stumping some of you. What happened to the house on the sand? It was gone. What happened to the house that was built on the rock? It stood firm. See, it was 2,000 years ago Jesus told that story, but you still knew it. Now, for the spiritual Marines who came to the building this morning, we're moving to Final Jeopardy. In Final Jeopardy, let's see here, I had it this morning. If you know the answer to this question, I'll give you money. All right, here we go. But this is tougher. This is tougher. Here we go. Jesus told the story. I'll give you the title. You finish it. The Sower and the
Seed.
Oh! Ding, 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 ding. Now, let's get even tougher. But what I'm trying to prove to you is the point is you remember stories.
We do.
How many types of soil were there? Four. There was the soil in the path, the rocky soil, the soil with all the thorns, and the good soil. So Jesus told stories so that because people could remember them. And I want to tell you a short story, once again, about my granddad and teach you a heavenly lesson. My granddad was born in England in 1903. And he emigrated to the United States as a teenager with his parents and the rest of his family. My granddad was definitely British, you know, very proper. But my granddad was also became a Christian man. I don't know exactly how. He married my grandmother, and they became Pentecostal Christians. Now, my grandma, she was Pentecostal, like you think, you know, speaking in tongues and waving her hands and all kinds of things in church. My grandfather was Pentecostal, but he was British. I do not remember my granddad even saying hallelujah. But he sat quietly, he read his scriptures, and he loved God, he loved his church, he loved his family, he loved the Holy Spirit. My granddad, this tells you how old it was, this was the day before TV was really, really big, and people listened to the radio. And they lived in Western New York, a place called Chautauqua County, Dunkirk, New York. And my granddad had a beautiful tenor singing voice. And in Chautauqua County, he was actually known as a Christian singer. Chautauqua County, that's not much, but anyways. And he would sing on the radio and he would minister. He was also a blue-collar worker all the days of his life. He was a blue-collar worker who worked faithfully to support his family. He worked at a place called Dunkirk Boiler. He built boilers all his life. I remember as a kid, my grandma, it's like Ward Cleaver. My grandma would pack his lunch in one of those metal lunch boxes. Off they'd go. One day at work, a large, hot piece of metal fell on my granddad and fell on his throat and crushed his vocal cords. Completely crushed him. They went to the doctors, they did everything they could. But the doctors told him, Mr. Whitehead, you will forget singing. Not only will you never sing again, you'll never speak again. And all my years growing up, he never spoke above a whisper. He never spoke above a whisper. And of course, being Christians, and even more so Pentecostal Christians, worship and worship and music was very important to them. And my grandfather had been, what back then they called him song leader, now we call him worship leaders. He had been the song leader, and his song was taken from him. He could no longer sing, he could only whisper. So he found an alternative. He began to whistle. I grew up in the summers with my sitting between them, and my grandfather whistled, and my grandmother sang. And being honest, I thought that was normal. I thought some people whistle, some people sing. That was my normal. I just grew up that way. And really, I did not know it was not normal till many years later, in my early years as pastor at what was then known as Wesley Community Church. There was this dear older lady named Miss Roberta Fair, and she was chairman of the board, and one day in worship, I was whistling. After church, she called me down. I was a young guy. She said, "We do not whistle in church. That's disrespectful." I was like, I never knew that. I thought that was the norm. So I grew up all the years of my childhood and early teens hearing my granddad whistle. When they would go to the store, and he would try to find me before cell phones, and he'd try to find my grandmother, he'd go, wherever he was, if you heard that, we could go find him. And that's how he would call my grandmother. They were Pentecostals. They believed in the healing power of God. They believed that God still performed miracles. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, and they had ministers pray for him. And that was back in the day of healing evangelists. And those of you who are a little older, there was a woman healing evangelist named Catherine Kuhlman who ministered out of Pittsburgh, and they went to her healing service. Nothing. Zero. God in his sovereignty chose not to heal my granddad. So for years and years and years, my granddad came to retirement age, and they left Western New York and they moved to Arizona, where our family lived, so they could be close to their grandchildren. And we attended a little Assembly of God church. And one night, I still remember it actually, the volunteer youth leader, must have been in like his late 20s, early 30s, and he went up, and Pentecostals back then would say brother and sister. And he said, "Brother Whitehead, can I pray for you for the Lord to heal you?" And what's my granddad going to say? You know, "I've been prayed for by the best." You know, of course he didn't say that. You know, he didn't want to discourage this young man's faith. He said, "Of course, you can pray for me." And his name was Brother Capps. Prayed for him, and nothing happened, as usual. They went home, went to bed. The next morning, my grandmother would tell me the story. I'll remember this as long as I live. My grandmother woke up, and she heard the radio playing, which was a little strange. And she couldn't figure out where the music was coming from. My granddad was already up, and she went up, and it was a small house, and she went into the bathroom, and there in the shower was my granddad singing, "He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something wonderful happened, and now I know he touched me." And man, he didn't even realize he was singing. "Oh, Jim." Oh, that was my grandma. "Oh, Jim. Oh, Jim." And until the day he died, well, that's not true. The last 2.5, 3 years of his life, he had dementia, and he was gone. He wasn't really with us. But until then, he sang, and his theme song was "He Touched Me." Mm. He sang at our wedding when we got married. He sang the Lord's Prayer. And he sang. End of story. End of parable. Now, why did I tell you that story? What's the spiritual lesson? When you can't sing, whistle. When you can't sing, I hope you remember that. Like you go, "Well, I watched church yesterday. What was it about?" When you can't sing, whistle. When you pray, 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 pray. You pray for a good thing. You pray for a thing that seems to be the will of God. Why would God not answer this prayer? But in his sovereignty, he chooses not to answer. When you can't sing, whistle. Let's go to Habakkuk, the scripture from Habakkuk. There's a little bit more to it, so let me get my glasses. Habakkuk, you know, some of us didn't even know there was a book in the Bible called Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet during a very difficult time in Israel's history. The book of Habakkuk only has 3 chapters. It's a very short book. It's called a minor prophet, minor means short. And Habakkuk was a faithful man of God, a prophet, but Israel was in captivity. The people of God were in captivity. And not only that, you'd think they'd learned their lesson in captivity, but they were living terrible lives. And they were doing not good things. The book of Habakkuk, it's not up here, but let me read it to you. Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. This is, and the whole book, the 3 chapters, are this conversation between God and Habakkuk. Habakkuk praying, complaining, God, why aren't you doing something? Come on, God. And God saying, da-da-da-da-da. So wait a minute. Here we go. It starts, this is the start of the book. How long, Lord, must I call for help, and you do not listen? Or cry out to you about violence, and you do not save? Why do you force me to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Boy, that could be today, eh? But let's keep moving. Strife is ongoing and conflict escalates. It even goes, why is the law so ineffective and justice never emerges? And the whole book of Habakkuk is Habakkuk saying, come on, God, answer, answer, answer. We go chapter 1. We go chapter 2, we go chapter 3, and by the end of the book, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And you read the next to the last 2 verses of the book. No, the last 2 verses of the book. And I'll pick it up at verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, because God had brought judgment upon their crops, And their way of living. It was his way of judging them for their sin. And Habakkuk, and he had prayed, God, Habakkuk had prayed, oh Lord, restore our land, restore our land. And when we get to the end of the book and nothing's changed, Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no fruit on the trees, I've been praying, I've been praying, but the fig tree still isn't budding, and there's no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, God, nothing has changed. I prayed and I prayed. I'm a faithful man of God and nothing changes. But the end of the book, when it boils down, he says, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer, enables me to walk on mountain heights. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and nothing changed. It's called the Christian faith. Because sometimes we pray and we trust God, and let's be honest, we don't see an answer. That's where faith comes in. We believe that God is good. We believe that God is strong. We believe that God is loving. We believe that God is kind. We believe that God is sovereign. He's in charge, and he knows best. No matter what, though this doesn't happen, though he doesn't answer my prayers, though my grandfather is not healed, yet I will celebrate. I will bless the Lord and rejoice in him. Though I can't sing, I'll whistle. When you face one of those situations, pull out your whistle and trust in God. I was supposed to have set my little clock on to know when I'm supposed to be done. I think I'm still okay.
Wait, let me tell you 2 things.
We probably shouldn't edit this out, but we can't. Before church, the gentleman said to me, Pastor Parker, are you going to be walking around like you always are? We need to know for the camera. And I said, no, I'll stand by the pulpit. So today you have seen a miracle.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, can I be dignified the whole time? Probably not. But can I tell you a story how this fits in my life. And I'm really big into journalizing, and I want to read something to you from my journal. The last 2 years, Kim and I have been living in, and for at least one more year, unless something major happens, Tim and I have been living in Sanford, Florida, where I am a middle school ESOL teacher. I get the kids, you're not allowed to call them illegal immigrants, you call them undocumented workers. And their children are my students, they don't speak English. And my job is to try to help them fit into our society and our culture, and some other kids too. Some of these children are a real challenge. Others are darlings. But I'm gonna be honest with you, it's not my heart's desire. And I miss Pastor. I've applied to over 100 positions and been turned down over 100 times. It hasn't been easy, I'm not gonna lie. And I wanna read you something from my journal. Lord, this was back on Friday, April 24th. Lord, you have taken China. I love serving in China. You have taken the ministry. And to be honest, part of me mourns this. These losses, a big part. But you are filling these places with yourself each morning. And this is grace. And I read a quote from a poet, a lady from the late 1800s, and she said, each loss is truest gain if day by day he fills the place of all he takes. Wait, let me say that again, because maybe I said it too fast. Listen to this one. Each loss is truest gain if day by day, he fills the place of all he takes. I can't sing right now, but I'm gonna whistle. Another quote that has helped me over the last 2 years, until God opens a door, dance in the hallway. Now I'm Pentecostal, we're not supposed to dance, but in the spirit we did. So until God opens a door, this boy's gonna dance. In the home, I will say the same thing to you. Until God opens a door, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, though there's no fruit on the vine, though everything's going wrong and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, dance in the hallway. When you can't sing, whistle. Last scripture I'll read this morning, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. God is good. God is loving. God is kind. God loves you so much. And there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. We may not understand. Oh, let me tell you one more thing. So I'm reading in Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith. Let me turn to it real quick. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith this happened, by faith that happened, by faith this happened, and all these great stories. But until you get to the middle of verse 35, other people were tortured. Others experienced mockings and scourging, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. Folks, there's more to life than this life.
Amen.
And I remember I was having one of my pity party days. I'll be honest, I struggled. And I was saying, God, what if I'm faithful and I wait and I wait and I try to dance in the hallway and I sing because I can't whistle and you never answer my prayer? And God said to me, and I said, I have written down, if you die, you die in obedience. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't obedience what he wants from us? So I'm to the point now, I'll whistle, and maybe I'll be whistling when he takes me home, and I won't be singing, but I'll be obedient. And my obedience pleases him. Your obedience pleases him. If you're going through a time, there's no fruit on the vine. The trees aren't budding. I don't even afford for the government assistance. I don't know how I'd make it. I have friends who are sick. I'm so sick of wearing these stupid masks and staying home. Come on, God, when are you going to kill this virus? And you can't sin. Listen. Until God opens the door. Dancing. Oh, I have one more quote. Let me give you this one, because I thought this was really good. God's delays are deliberate. He orders our steps and our stops. I didn't say that. I wish I had. It's too profound for me. God's delays are deliberate. He orders our steps and our stops. Would you allow me the honor of praying with you? And once again, I want to thank Pastor Bob and the leadership of your church. I love Second Union Church. I love Second Union Church. I love Second Union Church. Did I mention to you that I love Second Union Church? And I thank you for the honor of being here with you today in the building and in your homes. I wish that Tim could be here with me and we could sit down on your couch and have a cup of Yabagolka. You know, and just enjoy. Let's pray. What a wonderful, wonderful God you are. Thank you that before the foundations of the world, you chose us to be your children. You have adopted us into your family. And you love us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you for loving us when we've been disobedient. Thank you for being faithful. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como tu bendito Señor. Thank you, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name for those who are in the hallway. Help them dance until you open a door. For those who can't sing, help them to whistle.